Good morning.
Good morning.
I trust that all of you are well. Okay. Have no financial relationships to disclose. I thought as I was rehearsing last night so that I could make sure that I'd stay in the time frame, that before I talked about the problem, I should actually give a little bit of background of the maternal and child health system in the state of Florida. Many of you may know, and some of you may not, that since 1935, the Department of Health and Human Services has given money to states to support their maternal and child health activities, and it comes down to the state in block grant form. And in the state of Florida, once it gets to the state of Florida, it comes down to community-based organizations that are called Healthy Start Coalitions. Because in Florida, we decided that rather than the Department of Health or some other organization having it, people who really knew about the community should have the dollars. Now, also in the state of Florida, there are also six areas that apply for federal Healthy Start grants. And my Hillsborough County is one of those. And I said that because sometimes you might hear me say state Healthy Start and federal Healthy Start. And that's the reason for doing that. But we work very, very closely together. As a federal project, we just have additional dollars to do that. As you see here in 2005, when the data comes down from the Department of Health, it comes to the Healthy Start Coalition. And the Healthy Start Coalition was able to tell us, because we work in the disparity area more than they do, that the infant mortality rate was 22.7 versus 5.2, which was the white infant mortality rate. And that made it 4.4 times higher than it was for the white community in Tampa. When you get that kind of information, 22.7 is higher than some of what we call the developing countries. At that time, it was higher than Bosnia and Serbia and those kind of places. And when you get that kind of information, it's almost a kick in the gut, especially when you've been working hard. So what we wanted to do was to validate that this information was indeed true. So we called the state epidemiologist in Tallahassee and said, you get to Tampa and help us look at this data and make sure it's correct. And he pulled his team together, and it was. So the next thing that we did was call in a national researcher to bring the African American maternal and child health leaders together to look at this data and begin to have some understanding of what may be happening. We don't know even now the reason for that spike. Once that data was presented to the African American MCH leaders, we called an early breakfast meeting and presented the data to a broader spectrum in the community, including faith, education, business, health, arts and culture, community advocate, any interested resident who was very concerned about what was happening with our children. Committees were developed to create strategies. We had subsequent meetings. We conducted focus groups so we could really find out what the African American community felt about this exorbitant black infant mortality rate. We actually had our fetal infant mortality review to take a look at all of the black deaths that occurred in 2005. And in the process of all of this, two of our legislators became interested in what we were doing. One in particular, because her grandmother was a granny midwife in Georgia, and her mother had died in childbirth. This is just a picture here that we'd like to show everyone, because it really talks about how a community can get together and move the powers that be. With the assistance of the county epidemiologists, and unlike many other counties in Florida, we are fortunate to have a county epidemiologist. She and myself actually drafted the language for the bill. It went to the legislature, and they have a group of people there who actually refined that language to the Senator Arthenia Joyner, who's there in the red and black, and Senator Betty Reed, Representative Betty Reed, who's there in the red with the white collar, actually got folks in the legislature to support it. And this is the governor when he came to our city to sign the bill on July 2nd, 2007. What the bill said that we had to do, and of course it became a statute, a Florida statute, was that it had to be a community-based collaborative between the Florida Department of Health If there were any federal Healthy Start Consortia in the state, the Healthy Start coalitions in the state, and universities that had public health expertise, and the counties who were eligible had to have an average non-white infant mortality rate 1.7 times higher than the white rate. And if babies had died, it had to be 40 if you were in an urban county and 5 if you were in a rural county. And again, this is just a summary of the folks who were involved in the Black Infant Health Practice Initiative. We call it BIPI. So we have Senator Athenia Joyner, Representative Betty Reed, the Healthy Start Maternal and Child Health people that we were talking about. Here we have the recipients of funding, 6 urban counties and 2 rural counties, and Hillsborough is my county. We were one of them. We had the University of South Florida, who's there in Tampa, College of Public Health, and the Florida A&M University Institute of Public Health. And what we had to do, as far as the legislature telling us what we had to do qualitative assessments, quantitative assessment, and there had to be community engagement and mobilization, and the findings had to be submitted to the legislature by January 1, 2010. As we were trying to decide what to do, one of the things that we wanted to do was make sure that we had the community involved from the very beginning. So out of all the things we decided to do, and we did many things, we decided to use a perinatal periods of risk analysis. And that's a user-friendly tool that helps us to map fetal infant mortality by birth weight and age at the time of the baby's death. It provides the opportunity to engage community partners right from the very beginning. And once that mortality has been mapped and excess deaths identified, and I'll show you that in a minute, the next phase is to really target interventions. So this is what we mean when we talk about the excess deaths. In the PPOR approach, once we map the data, we compare the death rates, and here we were talking about the black infants' deaths, to the best group, who in our community was white, non-Hispanic women who had 13 years of education or more. And that's what we call, when we make that comparison, that's what we call the excess deaths. But we call it the opportunity gap, because that shows us where we can actually do some work to make a difference. Now, in Hillsborough County, what we discovered is that the largest amount of excess deaths occurred in the maternal health prematurity area. That means that when you looked at the deaths that occurred, the greatest correlation came from women, and we can tell by that we needed to put the focus on women being healthy when they get pregnant. The second greatest area was in infant health, and that means that we have to do things to keep babies healthy once they actually get here. So the community got together and decided what we could do to make a difference in those two areas. And what we decided to do was what we call a Save Our Babies campaign. And to initiate this Save Our Babies campaign, and this is actually the cover from the toolkit, we developed a community toolkit and we developed a speakers bureau. With the Speakers Bureau, it was developed by the Outreach and Messaging Subcommittee of the Community Action Team in Hillsborough County, and it included, of course, the toolkit and how to use the toolkit, and then content area in terms of how to protect babies, health and well-being, pregnancy, and interconception health. With the Speakers Bureau was composed of representatives of various organizations, faith institutions, and anybody in the community who was interested and was willing to be trained in actuality to be able to do this. And in the training, and I was very instrumental in conducting the training, we did training on how to use the toolkit, including how to administer the pre- and post-test, because we wanted to get some idea of the people we trained on the change in knowledge for them, their intent to use the information, whether or not they felt that they were comfortable in using the information, and the venues in which they might use that information. They were also trained in an in-depth overview of the content of the toolkit, and because in a former life I was an old public speaking teacher, we actually put some emphasis on making effective oral presentations in terms of issues such as audience analysis and identification, audience adaptation, anxiety reduction, how to create an effective introduction and conclusion, and if you're making a presentation and some kind of conflict occurs in your audience, how to deal with that. One of the other things that we did training on was how to take this information and to be able to present it very creatively. So we actually did some training on how you can take the information to develop some kind of dramatic presentation, a skit, or do some role playing. And actually in my organization, when we are called out to make this presentation, we actually do skits, and it works very, very well. In order to get us to come out and make these kind of presentations, we actually developed a website, biffy.org or biffy.com. You can go to the Speakers Bureau page, and you can tell us that you would like somebody to come and make a presentation. Tell us what your audience is like, and then we will match who we think is the best person to come out and actually make that presentation. We still have folks in Tampa who are not computer savvy, so we actually let people know that they can actually call me or email me. As we've looked at the program over the years, we know there's some things that we need to strengthen the program. We actually need to make sure that there's timely retraining of the folks who are in the Speakers Bureau and a timely updating of all the material, because the research is showing us more and more information. And we also need to be able to do an evaluation of the impact of this campaign on the specific targeted issues. The money that we got from the legislature, which was $1 million divided between eight regions and two universities, didn't last very long, and so now we're trying to sustain the program, and that's what we want to do. However, even though we have not done an in-depth evaluation, we are happy to let you know that the infant mortality rate fell, so that in 2009 it was down to 28.1, and we just got the information for 2010, and it's down to 14.3.